unpardonable sin. Pray as you listen. In St. Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter, I read with verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me." And if you have the red letter edition, you see that all of these are the words of Christ. He that is not with me is against me. So many want to have it both ways. They want to hold on to him and the world at the same time. It cannot be. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, any sin that is not covered means death to the sinner. If that's clear, say amen.
Amen.
What is sin? We've given you a Bible definition. 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law. That's what it is. And any sin that remains with us until death or the judgment is a sin that will destroy us. Sin is a condition of the heart. I read of a man once who owned a very valuable clock. He guarded it jealously. And one day, he noticed the clock was not keeping time. And he didn't want to carry his expensive clock to the repair shop. He was afraid they would steal some parts from it. And so it occurred to him, after all, the hands are the things that don't keep time. So he just pulled the hands off and took them to the repair shop. When he opened up the napkin, the man said, "But where's the clock?" He said, "Well, these hands don't keep the right time. I brought them to you." The man said, "Fella, if you want your clock fixed, you got to bring me the heart."
Amen.
The Bible says, out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart produce or proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. They come out of the heart. And when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's generally talking about the mind. As a man thinketh in his what? Heart, so is he. You don't think with this. You think with this. A man's heart, generally, in Scripture, refers to the mind. And the Bible says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Sometimes you have to just cry unto the Lord to cleanse your mind of evil thoughts. I mean, some of the best Christians have this problem. I heard an old preacher say one day, "You can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." If these thoughts come, don't let them stay there. Shoo them away by the power of God. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. And remember, Jesus said you don't actually have to kill. If you hate, you're a murderer. Huh? And then adulteries. All of this filth starts up here. I've known people to get into a jam, and when you talk to them, they say, "Pastor, I wasn't thinking." Yes, you were. It starts here. You thought about it until you convinced yourself to try it. Fornication. That's not only the filth that one does, but it's watching it on television. And I want to tell you now, there are things on television that a self-respecting dog should not watch. Out of the heart come thefts, false witness, that's lying, and blasphemies. That text is Matthew 15 and verse 19. Now all have what?
Sin.
And come short of the glory of God. I'm so glad to tell you tonight the good news that God wants us to overcome sin, and He wants us to confess them. And He says, if you do, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, some people don't ever want to forgive. But God forgives. And if God takes it away, you're clean. I don't care what it is. If God takes it away, you are clean. The Bible declares that. And thank God for it. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God says, come now, let us reason together. Now, can you imagine the great God of heaven talking to a no good sinner and saying to him, come now, let us reason together. As though he were some important person. God says, come now, let us reason together. The Japanese Bible says, come now, let's argue this thing out. Let's look at all sides. And I don't care how sweet sin is, when you start to look at it, you'll discover that it is poison and will destroy your soul. It ends up in hell. Sin self-destructs. Sin can never succeed. So God says now, come, let's be reasonable. You're not going anywhere with this. You might enjoy it for a while, but it will get you. Be sure your sins will find you out. Come now, let us reason together. That text I gave you is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all. How much? What does all mean? Every bit. You know, I hear people trying to put their finger on the unpardonable sin. Some say it's murder. Another says, no, it's matricide. They try to think of the worst thing they can think of, killing your own mother. That's matricide. Oh, no. They say it must be infanticide, killing your baby. I tell you the truth, when you see what was done in Oklahoma City, you wonder how a man like that can be forgiven. And yet the Bible says, if we confess our sins, if we can be brought to repentance, God says He is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And all has to mean all. So is suicide the unpardonable sin? That's the one you hear most often. I have to answer, technically, no, it is not. I can point you to a man in the Bible who committed suicide by pulling down the temple of Dagon on himself. His name was Samson. But if you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, in that same verse, you have Gideon and David and Samuel. And so Samson is named with those giants of the faith. He actually killed himself. Now, don't you misunderstand me. You're taking a slim chance committing suicide. I don't recommend it. Usually when a person comes to that, he has lost faith. He's given up hope. And the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Would you say amen out there? Amen. The just shall live by faith. A lady told me about 2 weeks ago, she wanted to kill herself because she has so many troubles and so many trials. I'm talking to her on the phone. And I said, but darling, that doesn't help anything. If you kill yourself, you go to sleep and you're unconscious. I don't care if it's 10 years. To you, there's no consciousness of the passing of time. In the next instant, you hear the voice of God calling the dead to life. And you've got to meet Him in the judgment. It'll be worse then than now. Amen. Suicide doesn't settle anything. Well, let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. There are two kinds of sin I want to highlight this evening. There is the sin of omission. Say that for me. Omission. And it's simple. These are theological terms, but it's simple. And the sin of commission. What is that? Omission and commission. What does it mean? Omission means not doing or omitting to do what God tells you to do. A lot of folk are going to die and go to hell because of the sin of omission. They didn't really do a lot of bad things. They just didn't do right. Now, the sin of commission means to commit wrong. One is not to do right. The other is to do wrong. You know, people have the impression in order to be lost, they've got to rob a bank or rape somebody or take somebody's life. No, you don't. The easiest way to go to hell is just sit down and fold your arms and do nothing and you'll make it. The sin of omission. A lot of good people just decide, I'm not going to do this. I give money and I visit the sick and I sing and I pray and I teach. But this I'm not going to do. That's the sin of omission. Leaving undone what God tells you to do. Now the sin of commission is, of course, the sin of doing wrong. In Romans 2 and verse 13, write it down. Especially those who want to bring Paul into conflict with himself. Create a dichotomy between Paul and Paul. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Would you say amen? Amen. And in this case, Paul is talking about the moral law of God, and he makes it very clear. This is the Bible. This is not Brooks. This is not some denominational idea. Paul says, not by hearers. And there are folk who will come and hear the truth over and over. As a matter of fact, I've gone into towns where some preacher 20 years ago preached God's truth, and the same folk are still outside. And they'll love to tell me, you know, I heard Pastor so-and-so preach this 20 years ago. What are you doing? Well, no, but I enjoy. Enjoy? And even if Jesus doesn't come soon, life is uncertain. At best, you got about 70 years. Makes no sense at all. The Bible goes on to tell us, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers. And the implication is, there is power from above to do. Don't tell me you can't be true to your wife. Yes, you can. Your problem is not whether you can. Your problem is whether you want to. Whether you will to do it. Let me tell you, there is a God in heaven who answers prayer. And if you want to be straight, He'll give you the power to be straight. Yes, that is a part of the grace of God. So there's no excuse not to do His will, because all His biddings are enablings. Every time He asks you to do something, He has already supplied the power. It's ours to accept. Now, Jesus' blood can cleanse all sin except the one we call unpardonable. And I've read it to you this evening. Now, there are circumstances under which men sin. And God is so good, He even takes that into consideration. There is the circumstance of ignorance. People do wrong, don't know any better. That's why He sends folk like me around to tell them. Acts 17:30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winks at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why now? Because the truth has come now. Before you heard it, He winked at it. But He knew your heart, and you wanted to hear it, and He sent it to you. Then you've got to make a decision. If you decide, "I'm not going to do it," there's no more winking on the part of God. You are responsible. And I tell you unabashedly, everybody who has come to this meeting here and heard the Word of God, and even those who wouldn't come because they were scared they would hear the Word of God, are going to be judged by God for the knowledge they have rejected. The Bible says so. Hosea 4:6, if you'd like a text. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business we're talking about. Some people sin through ignorance. God winks at it. Then there is the sin of passion. You, people can vex you. Sometimes even the saints can get on your nerves. I mean on your last nerve. And there are times when you're just overwhelmed. Like when Peter pulled a sword and cut off a man's ear. Overwhelmed. God is apparently not so severe against that, even though it is wrong. So we have the sin of ignorance and the sin of passion. If you're a Christian at all, when you lose your temper at home, immediately your conscience tells you, "You shouldn't have done that." And your head begins to drop and you want to go and get it right. But then, and don't miss this, we're beginning now to define truth. Here is the most dangerous sin of all. The most dangerous sin of all is deliberate sin. That's sinning even though you know. That's sinning even though the truth has come. That's sinning presumptuously. That's sinning against light. Deliberate sin is the most dangerous one of all. It is called iniquity in God's Word. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd better be careful there. David was a man after God's own heart, but David did some awful things. And he quickly repented, and God said, he's a man after mine own heart. But look at Psalm 19 and verse 13. David said, Lord, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. That means deliberate sin. Keep me from that one. Then sin will not have dominion over me, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Now, don't you go around thinking there are little sins and big ones, and maybe the big one I'll shun and the little. No, 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 no. We've got to overcome all sin. But there is a sin that is worse than any other. This man David said, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sin. Sin against light. Sin against the voice of God. Sin against the Word of God. Keep me from that. I'm going to make enough mistakes. Human weakness is going to throw me a time or two. But please, Lord, keep me from deliberate, presumptuous sin. Let that kind not have dominion over me. Then shall I be innocent of the great transgression. Oh, please listen. This is my prayer tonight. In the book of Numbers, chapter 15, let me turn to it and read it to you. The Bible says in Numbers, chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 30 and 31. Listen to what the Bible says. Numbers, chapter 15, verses 30 and 31. Listen, it says, but that soul, or the soul, that doeth aught presumptuously. How? The soul that doeth aught, that means anything, presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. Strong, yes. Solemn, yes. The soul that does it deliberately despises the Word. Do we have any idea what a privilege it is to know the Word of God? Amen. Do we have any idea in a world of confusion when men take one text and shut their Bibles and the rest of it comes from them, to have a chance to listen to the Word of God, text after text, the Bible supporting and strengthening itself? Do we have an idea what a privilege that is? The Bible says, when a man deliberately commits sin, he despises the Word. That means he doesn't value it. He doesn't care about it. And God said that soul will be cut off. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, this is a text in the New Testament that almost makes you tremble. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6, and I'm going to verse 4. Listen to what it says. For if we sin willfully, I want to turn to it. I want you to watch me read it. For if we sin willfully, where am I here? Hebrews chapter 6, I'm in chapter 4, forgive me. Verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Now the Bible uses a strong word. It is impossible. If they have been enlightened. While they were ignorant, God winked. But if they have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to open shame. Presumptuous sin, having heard the word, having been wooed by the Holy Ghost, having felt his divine impress upon their hearts, having the conscience stirred, and then they drop out, the Bible says it's impossible. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, the apostle said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Resist the Holy Ghost. Why is this sin so serious? I'll tell you why. Because of sin, the Son of God, the darling of heaven, came down here and suffered unspeakably. He was the target of every weapon of hell. He was mistreated from the cradle to the tomb. And yet he stayed in there in order to make a way for us to be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he went back to heaven and left the Holy Spirit here as his representative. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to evaluate correctly all that Christ went through and show love and appreciation for what Jesus has done for us. And if you decide, "I'd rather have my sin," you are saying all that Christ went through is not worth my little sin. And the Holy Ghost can't stand that. This is what grieves him. This is what offends him. David went a long way from God's word. But in Psalm 51 and verse 11, he pleaded with God, "Take not thy spirit from me." Oh, tonight we all ought to pray that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul wrote to the church, "Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit." What does that mean? One writer said, when you are thirsty and you drink water, it quenches your thirst. Am I right? So that you don't feel thirst anymore. It's gone. You can keep sinning until you can't feel the impress of God's Spirit. You can't hear the voice of God in your conscience. Honestly, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. We leave Him. In Genesis chapter 6, God is talking to Noah. He told him to build an ark. He said, because these people have gone too far. And in verse 3, God said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." You keep on doing it. Repeated transgression. Doing it over. Headlong, headstrong, rebellion. You keep doing it, and one day, known only to God, the Holy Spirit will go and not come back. And that is unpardonable. Amen. Suppose a young man, a nice, decent young man, sees a lovely girl, and he decides, "Oh, I admire her. Maybe we could get together and develop a relationship, and she could become my wife." So he approaches her, and she is also enamored of him. And so he asks if he may come over on Sunday for a date. And she joyfully says, "Yes." Why, don't you know that young man can hardly wait? He goes to the shop and he buys a quart of good ice cream. Puts on his best suit and his tie. Goes over and knocks on the door. And when she comes to the door, instead of being prepared to receive him, Ralph Jones is sitting on the couch. It's embarrassing to the young man. And so he tries to be gracious and he offers them the ice cream. She and Ralph would eat his ice cream. And he goes home with a broken heart. Well, she calls him up around Wednesday and she says, "Look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have allowed that. We had a date and I should have remembered. But please come Sunday." And he gets his hope renewed. He goes and buys a half dozen long stem roses. He gets excited again, puts on his suit again, puts on his tie again. Goes over on Sunday, knocks on the door. And as soon as she comes to the door, he looks in and Bob Smith is sitting on the couch. Well, she comes up with another apology. He forgives. He gets excited again. He thinks she's worthy. So he goes this time and he buys another nice little gift, a bottle of expensive perfume. And he comes over Sunday, according to that date, knocks on the door, and Benny Brown is sitting on the couch. Now let me tell you, if that young man has any good sense at all, he's going to give up on her. She's pushed him too far. How many times have I got to go through this? He suddenly begins to realize she lacks character. She's not the type that would make him a good wife anyhow. And so he leaves her alone. Goes on about his business looking for somebody else who is worthy. If every time the Holy Ghost comes, you got the devil sitting on the couch, sooner or later, Holy Spirit is going to decide, I'm going to leave that soul alone. That soul is not for real. That soul does not keep his word. I am going to leave him alone. Yes, sir. Well, what happens when he leaves? Let me read it to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Write it down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is what the Bible says. And I'm reading beginning with verse 9. Listen. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Are you listening? Here the Bible predicts that there would come deceptions with power, signs, and wonders. God gives His truth and people want a sign. You don't need a sign when you read it in the Bible. God's not going to change. His Word is your sign. And if you are given to signs and wonders, the devil will always have one that will impress you. The Bible says even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness, meaning the power to deceive, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, in them that perish because, here's the reason, listen, in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Did you get that? Why are they perishing? Because they didn't love the truth. The next verse says, and for this cause. What cause? Because they wouldn't love the truth. I want to make it clear. I want you to see how dangerous it is. And for this cause, because they wouldn't love the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Huh? Wait a minute. I'm not going to rush through here. I want you to get what the Bible says. And this is in your Bible. Read it. They are deceived. They're going to perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. It didn't say they received not lying wonders and signs. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Next verse, 12, that they all might be damned. Huh? God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These are solemn things. I want to tell you something. My brother's sitting here and he's a witness. There was a man in our community to whom my darling mother lovingly talked about truth. And he always was courteous and polite, but he'd always come up with excuses. He was determined not to love the truth. And there was a false Christ in those days. He did now. His name was Daddy Grace. And I went to that church one night. I had no business there, but I was a kid. And I saw that man that had turned his back on the truth. I saw him come down the aisle with a big receptacle full of green money piled up. And I saw him put it at Daddy Grace's feet and back up and kneel down and put his face to the floor. Here was a man to whom God sent the truth, bowing down to another man and putting his face on the floor. The Bible says, if you don't love the truth, God will withdraw it. And in that way, he sends a lie. God is not in the business of sending lies. What happens is, he withdraws the truth. And a lie naturally fills the vacuum. And the Bible says, it happens that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The Holy Ghost eventually will leave you alone. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Spirit whereby ye are sealed unto salvation, beloved. I went to pastoring the last pastorate I had. Large church. Moved into the parsonage, didn't even know the members. Phone rang. A desperate woman was on the phone. She said, Pastor Brooks, you don't even know us yet, but my father is in a certain hospital dying. Would you go to see him? I said, of course I will. Dressed, jumped in my car, went over there, asked for his room, didn't know him. When I walked in that room, his eyes were looking around as though 1,000 devils were in there, and he was breathing hot. I began to talk to him. I called him by his name. I said, my brother, I am the pastor of the church. I didn't come here to scold you. I didn't come here to censure you. I came here to tell you the good news that even now, if you will turn to Jesus with all your heart, the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by Jesus Christ. I've come to tell you that even now he will accept you if you will only make a decision for him. Your family has been in the church a long time. You have given your life to dissipation. Why not now? He just kept staring and jumping. And finally, I knew nothing else to do. I put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed as seriously as I knew how for that man's soul. And when I finished praying, he was looking right at me. No, no, amen. Wait till you hear what he said. He looked straight at me and he said, I don't like anybody praying for me. Next thing I heard were the rattles of death, the fluid filling his lungs. He began to sound like a man snoring in the night, and he was gone. I still don't sit as his judge, but I tell you, I think I saw a man who had gone too far. A 20-year-old sent for me, dying of cancer. I went to him and nothing I said seemed to reach him. I read the Bible. I talked about Jesus. Nothing reached him. And that man said to me finally, Pastor, there was a time when I had the opportunity to serve God. He called me. He influenced me. I felt his presence. But now that I need him most, I don't even care. It's real. We're ready to go to the screen. The lights will go down as we conclude our message in good time. The Bible says that some have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Seared implies to burn out. That conscience is tender and delicate. And the more you keep repeating sin, the more a callus forms on it. The more you keep doing wrong when God tells you what's right, making excuses for it, the more you do that, the more you're putting the fire to burn out your conscience. It's incredible to me. Now, if I'm up here just telling you good things, I wouldn't blame you. But when I challenge you to read the text yourself, when I tell you to write it down and look in your own Bible, that's different. Now, I'm not an egotistical person, but I'm going to tell you the truth. There aren't many preachers can do that. Or they can make you shout, and I can do that. They can make you feel good, and I can do that. Are you listening to me? They can give you sound bites, and you'll say, oh, wasn't that wonderful? But the truth undergirding every spiritual proposition, you won't find that everywhere. And yet people hear God's word and say, I got to talk to my pastor. I find that incredible. You're going to check on God with your pastor. My suggestion would be, check on your pastor with God. And that includes me. I'm subject to the same test. Check on me. You don't know me. People have been fooled religiously for hundreds and hundreds of years. Check on me. Check on me. Let us go on. Hearts hardened. What hardens the heart? When you keep doing it, you harden your heart. And eventually it hardens you. I know two young women right now that frankly were very handsome women. But they rebelled against truth. Nothing to do with Christ. And now they got a dab on all kinds of makeup trying to look presentable. They're hard looking. Hard! Hearts hardened through repeated transgression. The Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Somebody asked about it the other night. You can take clay and butter and put them in the sun. One will melt, the other will harden. It's not the sun's fault. It's the substance. If you come to the Lord with a withering heart, you will be melted by the power of the Holy Ghost. You come to Him with your mind made up, and your heart will become hard. And you will get to the place you not only won't believe, you can't believe. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Spirit of God tonight as you listen to the Word. The Bible says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. This is found in your Bible. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. That's found in Proverbs 1, 24 through 26, 28 through 30. Ladies and gentlemen, God has said a strange thing. I reach out to you, you ignore me. I send my counsel, you will have none of it. One of these days, and make no mistake about it, it will come. If it doesn't come in this everyday life, it will come at the end. And God said, when they get all agitated and start pleading with me, I'm going to laugh at them. I will mock when their fear cometh. Why? Because in the time of peace, they wouldn't have a thing to do with me. Now they're crying too late. Everybody's going to pray sometime. I saw a Baptist church in Philadelphia had a sign out front. It said, repent now and avoid the rush at doomsday. Everybody's going to repent. The problem is they're going to repent too late. And instead of a God saying, come unto me, He's going to laugh. Bible says the Lord will have them in derision. There was Achan. He knew God's will, but he saw some money and other goodly things, and he went and hid them in his tent. And when he hid them there, trouble came to Israel. And they decided to find out who the fault was. And they started casting lots. They fell on a certain tribe. Now, he had an opportunity to come forward and say, wait, I repent, I'm sorry. Oh, but he thought he could hide. Finally, they cast lots and it fell on a certain family. And here's his whole family. And he still wouldn't come forward. Then they cast lots and it fell on his household. And he still wouldn't come forward. And they cast lots and now the finger is on him. And he started, I'm sorry, too late. They dragged him out and stoned him to death. He'd gone too far. Not only that, but there was King Saul. God was sorry he made him king. Rebelling against God, his obsession was to kill David. And finally, he had committed so many sins, God wouldn't talk to him. He needed to go to war. He needed God to guide him, and God wouldn't talk to him. So he went to a witch. The Bible says he died for going to that witch. Gone too far. And then there was old Judas. Got a hold of 30 pieces of silver. Got excited. I imagine he got to thinking, with these 30 pieces of silver, I can buy a robe that'll make these other fellows look like bums. I'll get me some Johnston and Murphy sandals. With this money, I'm going to really look like something. But when he saw that soldier bring his hand against the lips of Jesus, and Jesus didn't fight back, it arrested his attention. They'd tried to take Jesus before, and he disappeared. They were going to throw him off a hill, and he just disappeared. And I guess Judas might have thought, I can make this money, he'll still disappear. That's the way we rationalize. But now he hears this smack, and Jesus' mouth is crushed, and the blood starts to trickle. And he stands there, and he must have wondered, why is he taking that? Why didn't he disappear? You can't run God's program. Jesus said, my time has come. And the hands that created the world were bound, and he was dragged off like a common criminal. And Judas now begins to wonder, haven't I done the wrong thing? I'm sorry, I better get his money back. The important thing is, he didn't spend a single one of those coins. Took them back. They were burning his pocket now. He didn't want them. Oh no, I can't deal with this. And the priest wouldn't take it back. Went out and hanged himself. And when that procession moved that night, and when that procession moved, they saw the dogs reaching up and tugging at the entrails of a man of whom the scriptures say 'twould have been better he'd never been born. He went too far. He went too far. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, why is this sin unpardonable? I've already told you, but let's review it. It's unpardonable because Jesus came to die. And for a man to choose sin rather than Jesus, after all he's done, is to show contempt for the body and the blood of Jesus and contempt for heaven's best gift. Jesus was the darling of heaven. And for us to say, no, I'm going to hold on to my way. I know the truth, but I'm going to do my thing. It offends the Holy Ghost. And if he ever leaves, that's it. The Holy Spirit is here to woo us to Christ. Some people try to turn the Holy Spirit against the Word. They say, well, I don't need to obey. All I need is the Holy Ghost. And then the devil comes with a certain spirit, and they think they got the Holy Ghost. They jump and jerk and carry it on and ain't got nothing but a spirit of the devil. Oh, but you say, Brooks, how do you know? I'll tell you how I know. I know because the Bible says, in Acts 5:32, we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You want the Holy Ghost? Inside. Now, He'll come alongside you to try to win you. But if you want Him inside to control you, then you have got to be an obedient Christian. The Bible says so. The Holy Spirit woos people to Christ. And make no mistake about it. If you value pet sins above Jesus, His death for you was in vain. And the Holy Ghost is insulted by that. He will not take that. So what sin is the unpardonable sin? Is it suicide? No. Is it matricide? No. Is it infanticide? No. What is it? It's any sin, big or small, that you refuse to surrender and give up. Anything that you hold on. More than that, it is rebellion against known truth. And more than that, ladies and gentlemen, it is rebellion against light. God's Word is light. And anything that you cling to rather than give up can become the unpardonable sin. When? I don't know. God is a patient God. And I'm so thankful He is. Oh, if He weren't, I wouldn't be here tonight. I want to tell you, I thank God that He's long-suffering and patient. But there's a line drawn. When Saddam Hussein was acting the fool and invaded Kuwait, George Bush said, "We've drawn a line in the sand. You're going too far." And the full might of the U.S. military was unleashed against the army of Saddam Hussein. And he had said, "This will be the mother of all battles." And he was defeated in a couple of weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a line that is drawn. I don't know when you cross it. Some cross it while they're young. Some while they're older. Because God, as a merciful God, is also a wise God. He knows what you've been battling and what your weaknesses are and what your tendencies are. And God knows, but we don't know. We don't know when we have gone too far. When we have made that final choice, "I'd rather have my sin than have Jesus as my Savior." That's what the Holy Ghost can't take. And when He leaves, that's it. That's it! A passport to hell. Tonight, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." On this coming Sabbath, there's going to be a baptism right here. And somebody else ought to decide, "I'm going to do what God said do. I'm going to be in that number. I'm going to walk with my Jesus." You don't know. We don't even know that we'll get home alive tonight. I don't know. We're here by grace, and God gives us time. But when will I cross the line? That's why the Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now, N-O-W, now is the accepted time. Now! It'll never be easier than it is now! As for me and my house, I have made a conscious decision. I might fail, I might walk and stumble, I might make mistakes, but I have made a decision. Christ is more important than pleasure, more important than relatives, more important than friends and jobs and everything else on earth. I have decided, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can't you decide that? It's for your good, not mine. Don't do me any favor. Do yourself a favor. By deciding before it is too late that I'll let Jesus come in. If you're willing to let Him come into your heart, I want you to stand now in the darkness with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And let us pray. My Father and my God, We've been talking to your people out here for over 3 weeks. And Lord, there's some good people here. They want to do your will. Satan is working feverishly to deceive them. He uses even other people to influence them. Oh, my Father, speak to their hearts individually right now. If I have not told them the truth, then wash it out of their minds. But if I have presented the truth, and in the name of Jesus I declare that I have, then I pray that you would make them concerned about their souls tonight. Help them to go home and not rest until they have uttered a prayer of commitment. Yes, Lord. Baptism coming up. I want to be in that number. I want to stand on the Lord's side. I want to be in His church that's getting ready for His coming, that believes in all of His commandments. My Father, if you want somebody to preach, I'll do that. If you want somebody to sing, Walt will do that. The quartet will do that. But we cannot win souls. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, lest we drive thee away, come with power upon us now. And help us to make the intelligent decision by grace. I ask you in Jesus' name. There is someone who cares. Don't drive his spirit away. There is someone who cares. Decide right now to obey. There is someone who cares. Stand on his truth today. For that someone who cares is Jesus. There is someone who cares. Put him before all men. There is someone who cares. Shun the unpardonable sin. There is someone who cares. Let his spirit come in. For that someone who cares is Jesus. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace in your hearts as you accept him. And you cannot accept him without accepting his truth.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.